this is Jan.
I think it's just the two of us that are on here. This is Helen.
Oh, okay. Hello. Who are you?
I'm doing fairly well.
Is this, who are you, your name?
I'm Helen.
Okay.
I'm from
nice
Michigan.
To meet you. Oh, mm-hmm. I see. I'm from Minnesota.
Oh, okay.
Did someone else come on?
Not yet. Mm-mm.
Oh, I see it. I heard a sound before.
Oh, well,
yes, ma'am. I'm on there too. This old bitch.
Oh, there he is.
Hello.
Hi, ladies. Yeah, it was me. I muted right out once I click him. Hi, dear. How's everybody tonight?
Yes.
Uh-oh.
Very good,
oh,
Nick.
Yeah. Wonderful.
Hope your family's well.
Yes, thank you. Yes, ma'am. Everything's doing good. Yeah, thank you, Lord. Yes, ma'am. Yeah, yeah. Give him thanks every day. Let me have her back.
Mm-hmm.
Doing good. Yeah, I hope yours is too. Everyone's okay.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Now here heading to Fort Pierce tonight. Fort Pierce. Yeah, Fort Pierce. Going down to Fort Pierce. Up here around about.
Mm-hmm.
Titusville somewhere, and it said it's like 50 degrees down here right now. Head south, Fort Pierce, and go down and pick up two trailers and bring back to Jacksonville. I understand there's going to be some pretty bad stuff coming up that way up north of tonight for the weekend.
Really?
It's here already.
It's there already. Oh. My goodness.
In Minnesota.
Ooh. Oh, way below zero probably now.
I just came on. Nice. Hi, everyone. Hi to all that we have. I hear Mitch.
Yes, ma'am. Hi, Gretchen.
Hello, sir. Anyone else want to introduce themselves to me so I know who's here, please?
Hi, Gretchen. This is Helen.
Helen, bless your
you
little heart.
You remember who I am?
Oh, my, yes.
It's so good to be able
to
be back. Yeah, thank you for all your prayers.
Woohoo! I'm so happy. Good to hear from you. All right.
This is Jan from Minnesota.
Jan, I've been thinking about you, too. So glad you came back to join us tonight.
Thank you. Yes, I almost lost track of time, and I had to hurry in there and looking for the number.
Oh. Well, I appreciate the effort you're taking. Anyone else?
Hello.
Want to say hi? Hello.
Hey, Gretchen, Claudia, how are you?
Oh, Claudia, I feel like I'm getting such a big air hug from everybody already tonight. Thank you for joining us tonight.
Oh, of course. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. All right, well, I can give it just another second, but I'm not going to take too much longer because I'm long-winded and I'd like to do a lot of praying. Anyone else want to get on and say hello before we begin? Okay, going once, twice, and I'm going to mute everyone out and get started in just a second. Thanks. All right. Welcome, everyone, tonight. Our topic tonight is rejection, you know, and rejection is universal. There's not one person who hasn't suffered in some way with rejection. And in its stronger form, it's termed abandonment, and it almost always includes a broken heart, you know. And for many of you out there, and certainly myself, we've had a broken heart, you know, and it's not fun, it's not pretty. And we all know the phrase, oh, that broke my heart. And we know because that broken heart describes the intense pain and that emotional torment that one feels after they've been rejected or abandoned by somebody they love. You know, it comes through trauma like death, divorce. It comes through breakups, separations, betrayals like someone cheating on you. And it usually always involves a love interest of some kind, and that can include the loss of pets, children, or friends. You know, and in reality, people die of broken hearts. The most common example is like when the spouse dies quickly after their partner does. But stress really is stress, and it's stress that's the killer, and that's why there even is the broken-hearted syndrome. It's called Takotsubo syndrome, and we here in the States call it stress-induced cardiomyopathy. You know, these types of events can trigger your sympathetic nervous system, which is also called your fight-or-flight response. And during your fight-or-flight response, your body unleashes a flood of chemicals, including adrenaline and cortisol. And this sudden chemical flood, it can stun your heart muscle. You know, in fact, the heart muscle can be so profoundly affected that it can't even pump blood out of the body strongly enough. And it causes the heart to enlarge and to balloon out. So stress cardiomyopathy is a well-recognized cause of acute heart failure, lethal ventricle arrhythmias, and ventricle ruptures. You know, and the symptoms of a broken heart, they're so similar to those of a traditional heart attack that even a paramedic, sometimes many ER doctors aren't going to know the difference because it includes chest pain, shortness of breath, arm pain, and sweating. But because traditional heart attacks can be triggered by stress as well, please don't take any chances. Please, if this is you, go to the hospital. Let the doctors figure out which one of these you're having, if it's the broken-hearted syndrome or indeed a heart attack. You know, one absolutely remarkable aspect of the broken heart syndrome is that someone can be critically ill on Monday, and by Thursday, they can be preparing to go home from the hospital. So take heart, you know. Even as the physical heart can recover quickly, your spiritual heart can recover more quickly. You know, so sometimes it is immediate and sometimes it takes a little longer. But at the end of this teaching, I'm going to pray for you and I'm going to ask Father God to heal your broken heart according to his word. So praise the Lord, Father in heaven. Hallowed be your name. You know we love you. We love you with all our hearts, our minds, our souls, and strength. And Father, I just come against any spirit that would come against your people tonight, that would keep them from hearing your word, from believing your word, from being set free, or any other torment during our deliverance and our teaching tonight.
I go forth before and release the power of God to begin to release your people. And Father, I just stand in the gap for my daughters, especially Zoe, and I ask you, Father, deliver her from rejection, abandonment, and a broken heart tonight. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Okay. So here we go. The word tells us that there is a rest for the people of God and that we are to labor to enter into that rest. So that can be found in Hebrews 4, 9 through 11. There remains therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that is entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. The word rest denotes peace, and God is a God of peace. If we're not in rest, we are in fear, and fear steals our peace. You know, Satan's goal is to keep us from entering the rest of God and keeps us in torment with fearful thoughts. You'll also notice the scripture says that we are to labor to enter the rest. So it doesn't come automatically just because it's in the Bible. We must work, we must do our part to obtain the peace that God wants us to be in. However, you will notice that it says that we are to cease from our own works. Well, what works are those? Those are the toils and the troubles that will come in our lives. You know, those battles that we face daily. God's telling us that even though we have daily battles and struggles, we can still enter his peace. So, you know, it helps us to understand how the enemy kingdom works in our own lives in order to defeat him. You know, and he has just a field day in this area of rejection. I believe it's one of his favorite areas to snare us. And it can be very subtly hidden in our lives. Essentially, we focus on the brokenness and the devastation of our past and project it into our future. And we're just so busy shadow boxing with the past that we forget to face the enemy today. You know, it's no wonder our peace is gone. And the rest of God is just words on a page. You know, God is telling us to discern the invisible enemy and deal with him today so that you can have your peace while it's still called today, not when this whole battle is over. And rejection is a form of doubt and unbelief. It's double-minded. It says we are not accepted by God and that we are not accepted by man. And that before we can be accepted by God, we must be accepted by man. Rejection sets man as your source. And that is idolatry. You know, idolatry says that your self-worth is derived from whether human beings like you or don't like you. And this is a violation of the law of God. And frankly, it's disobedience to his word. Psalm 139, 13 through 16. For you have possessed my reins, You have covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows right well. My substance was not hid from you when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lower parts of the earth. Your eyes did see my substance, yet being imperfect, and in your book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there were none of them. You know, this is a perfect description of an omnipotent God creating us in our mother's womb and knowing us even before Adam and Eve were created. You know, I can't think of anything more awe-inspiring than these words about our and our reality as created beings. You know, we have been made by our loving Heavenly Father. And, you know, not one of us is like another. You are his favorite. And I'm his favorite. You know, there's no other you out there. He made you just to love you and to have a loving relationship with you. And in Psalm 139, this word possessed means to set up or erect, and reigns means laying the foundation of being. So here it means to fashion or to grow together in the womb. That's the lowest parts of the earth. And the word curiously means to variegate or diversify with colors. And it refers to the intricate weaving and the growth of the human body from conception to the full development of the baby. So, you know, as we can see, we are a special miracle and creation of God. I mean, we are dust that's been formed and fashioned and goes back into dust. It's amazing. And when we continue to agree instead of God with the spirit of rejection, then we're disagreeing and we're not believing what God created and intended for us to be. You know, and if we don't agree with God, we are agreeing with the enemy. And we have to stop this to defeat rejection. You know, we must also deal with the principalities of bitterness, like unforgiveness and anger, and also envy and jealousy before rejection can be defeated. All these three culprits will keep us from entering the rest of God, and the labor part of the above scripture is to deal with the bitterness, the envy, the jealousy, and then the rejection. So again, Hebrews 4:12, one of my favorites, for the word of God is quick and powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Did you notice that word discerner? That is the key to your freedom. You know, we have to discern our thoughts and the intents of our heart. We can choose who to listen to. We can choose to listen to the Holy Spirit or the evil spirit. And the word intents means a giving of action to the thought. So in other words, when you go ahead and you carry out the thought, whether it's good or bad, then you have the consequence, good or bad, and you have your reward, that whichever, or the curse, whichever, it's your choice. So you see, there is an area in your brain which has recently been found, which is called the area of the free will. It's just like this little hot spot, and it's in this area that every thought, either a new, brand new thought or one stored as a memory, it goes to this free will area before it can be meditated on. So, you know, you can literally reject this thought of rejection because it could be real or imagined. And if you reject this thought immediately, it comes hot air. It literally becomes hot air and it doesn't affect you anymore. If you accept this thought or meditate with it or agree with it, it will activate certain neurochemicals and hormones and et cetera that will directly affect your health, either for good or ill. So literally, so no thought ever remains neutral. It's either changed or strengthened, so, or it's disposed of. So become aware of what you're thinking and cast down any thought that's not in agreement with the Word of God and replace it with one that is. You know, it's really pretty simple whenever you think about it. The part that we miss is that we must have a working knowledge and understanding of what the Bible has to say about how we are to live our lives. You know, when we lay the Bible aside and do and choose to follow the world system, you know, that's where we get into trouble. Really, there's no shortcut to being free, but God never made it an impossible task. You know, He is for us and not against us. Rejection is an evil spirit that can come in very subtle ways, or it can be very clear and apparent to us. But however it comes, it is evil and its effects can be devastating to us, to our bodies, like that brokenhearted syndrome, to our soul, and to our spirit. And in order to try to keep the pain of rejection out, you know, we may be one that explodes with anger or hatred. And remember, this is part of our fight or flight response. Now, that's obviously the fight reaction. And, you know, there can be very aggressive behavior. There's bitter fighting against either the real or imagined injustice. And then pain of rejection. Now, the two main ingredients of rejection are it really did happen, or we just imagined it happened. But whether it's real or it's imagined, rejection affects the physical body the exact same way. You know, our hypothalamus, our thought processor, it can't distinguish the difference between real or imagined. All thoughts of rejection are sent to our bodies. They secrete neurochemicals, and as you know, we've learned, anger and hatred are in the bitterness category. So now rejection is hiding behind the bitterness. And anger affects our bodies with diseases such as aneurysms, strokes, hemorrhoids. You know, there is a part of you that's literally exploding with suppressed rage and anger within, and it's going to manifest and it's going to come out somehow, you know. Consider the story of Cain and Abel in Genesis 4. You know, Cain wasn't rejected by God, but his offering was. You know, he brought an offering that was representative of the curse of mankind. And God's heart for Cain was reconciliation with him and for his best. He wanted Cain to bring and manifest a blessing. And, you know, when God came to him, he revealed directly to Cain that sin was a being crouched on all fours, trying to get into him and to overtake him. He warned that's where it is if you break it down in the original language, you know. He warned him and told him to watch out because the anger from rejection was a trap against him. You know, God cared so much for Cain that he came to him and intervened and advised him what was necessary for peace and for his freedom to overcome rejection and that envy and jealousy and bitterness. You know, I'm sure by now you've all seen a bully in action. You know, the type of person, they display aggressive behavior of anger and hatred and abuse, some sort of violence or threat of it. You know, but behind this behavior is the spirit of rejection. And they put this defense mechanism on to hide the pain that they have inside, whether they know it or not, you know. And along with this rejection comes the spirit of fear or insecurity, in another word for fear, you know, and a very real need to express your identity. And, you know, on the opposite side of the spectrum is a person who is hypersensitive. And I don't mean sensitive to the things of the spirit, but hypersensitive to criticism or anything that would accommodate that spirit of rejection to manifest within them. So, you know, they're afraid of being rejected, and you have to be very careful around them that you don't do something to hurt them or say something to them that will cause that sensitivity to manifest. But, you know, these displays of rejection, they're a ploy by our enemy to keep us in the snare of bondage and not allow us to be who we really are and to know our true identity in Christ. You know, and the third defense mechanism that's displayed through the spirit of rejection is looking for a meaningful identity. And when we don't have a complete relationship with the Godhead, that's the Father, the Word who is Jesus, and the Holy Spirit, then the enemy has an open door to begin to form us into his image and to use the evil of rejection to do it. So this is how that works, okay? The enemy takes the pain and the trauma and the devastation of our past and continually replays it over and over in our mind. So he may do this through thought, through visions, dreams, feelings, or impressions. You know, like, you know, I just had a dream that I was being rejected. But when we allow this to happen, he has control of us. You know, our identity and our personality have been formed by the kingdom of darkness. And that's why when we begin to wash our minds with the water of the word, we can begin to even change our own personality. You know, so we're going to replace rejection's methods with the truth of what the Word of God says about you. You know, and that's really where your change begins. It's when we replace our thoughts. So, As we've looked at these defense mechanisms of rejection, we can see that fear, bitterness, and self-hatred, that unloving spirit that we've talked about in the past, these are all present with this spirit of rejection. This evil manifests through our bodies, and it produces all kinds of problems, and two of these are barrenness and miscarriages. You can find that in the word in Isaiah 54, verse 1, which reads, "Sing, O barren, you that did not bear. Break forth into singing and cry aloud, you that did not travail with child. For more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married wife, says the Lord." This scripture speaks of barrenness and even miscarriages. You know, how do these issues come out of evil spirits? Well, fear can produce barrenness by causing an over or under secretion of the chemicals and hormones from the endocrine system of the body. The sex glands of the male and or the female could be affected, which would hinder conception. And, you know, miscarriages may be an autoimmune problem where the white blood cells attack the umbilical cord, producing a swelling, and it causes the cord to close. This usually happens at the fourth month. And these cells that keep the blood, the oxygen and the nutrients, they keep from getting into the placenta and the fetus. And unfortunately, the child is not able to breathe. And that's what results in a miscarriage. Isaiah 54, 4 and 5, "Fear not, for you shall not be ashamed, neither shall you be confounded, for you shall not be put to shame, for you shall forget the shame of your youth, and shall not remember the reproach of your widowhood any more. For your Maker is your husband, the Lord of hosts is his name, and your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. The God of the whole earth shall he be called." This scripture not only refers to God and his people in the past, you know, but also to our relationship to God personally today. God always makes a way for all his children. Our commandment is to not fear. And when we obey this commandment, we are promised a freedom from the shame and the disgrace of our past, and a confidence that comes that Jesus is our Redeemer. And that is such good news. So as we walk out of rejection, it is important to know who we are in Christ Jesus. It's important for us to be restored back to God the Father through Jesus, so that the fullness of the Godhead can be part of our relationship. And, you know, when we think of an earthly husband, we think of him in the carnal way as a man, not as God. But Jesus is God who was manifest in the flesh. He is our spiritual husband, and we, as saved men and women, we are the bride of Christ. We are the helpers to Jesus. And we will follow him into eternity. And we're going to forever rule and reign with him. You know, our husband, he created us. He stepped off his throne in heaven. And he came down to this planet that's been damned by sin because he loves you. And because you, his wife, was dying. You know, and rejection doesn't stand a chance if you allow God to give him this revelation of his acceptance of you. You guys know me, know my story and how God told me my purpose in life was to receive the love of God and to be an expression of it. And I just have to say, you know, why would we want to pattern ourselves after some other sinful person who hurt us or abused us and shamed us and reproached us, when we can pattern ourselves after the true and living God who loves us and died for us? You know, rejection and self-rejection, they'll convince you that you need another person for your support, or that you can have an identity and bond with them. I mean, that's why gangs and support groups are so popular. You know, they lead us to believe that a group of people with the same problems like we have can bring us to a place where we can be accepted. That's what everyone wants. So, let me preach the gospel to you here a minute. Let me remind you of what your Redeemer has done for you. Jesus, he was rejected by all. You can see it in Isaiah 53. His father in the womb rejected him. He was rejected by his mother and his brethren. Remember when they rejected his career and his calling in God? He was rejected by the leaders in his community. He was rejected by his very creation. He was rejected as a husband to Israel when they became an adulterous harlot. And when he performed miracles, you know, even Peter denied him. All his disciples scattered. They all abandoned him when he needed their support. And then the whole nation crucified him. During his trial, all 30 laws of the Sanhedrin were broken, and not one person stood up for him. When he was there hanging on the cross, even Father in heaven turned away from him. I mean, Jesus was rejected. He was abandoned in the fullest measure. And his rejection was fulfilled to the uttermost so that we can be completely free and we can be accepted in every one of these areas where rejection and abandonment and brokenness have been, as well as bitterness and envy and jealousy and fear, you know, but even this, he was considered a bastard so that we can be released from the bastard's curse. I mean, it's just amazing. And if you want to learn more about his crucifixion, more about the brokenhearted syndrome and how there's areas of your brain that link to physical pain through thought, you know, just go to our teachings at www.spiritmindbodyconnection.com and just go to the articles and research page. There's a lot there. But, you know, we know that even Jesus died of a broken heart. And we know how his heart was broken. And we can tell that it was broken by how the water and the blood came out of his side when he was pierced. There's an article on there about that. You know, but get back to the basics. There's basically two categories to the root of this spirit of rejection. You know, there's the ones we know about, and then the ones we don't know about. So So let's work on these ones we know about. Recognizing the roots is the key to your freedom, and you don't have to search for them. God will bring them up when it's time, and you can just deal with them then. So recognizing is the first R, and it's impossible. I want to say it is possible to defeat rejection. You know, it might take a while, but the road to freedom and knowledge begins with understanding of how our enemy works in our lives, and then also how to defeat him spiritually, as well as to knowing how our body works in response. So 1 Corinthians 2:11 says, "For what man knows the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knows no man but the Spirit of God." Hebrews 4:13. "Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and opened to the eyes of him with whom we have to do." So the good news is that God knows our roots. You know, he knows it all. So, you know, we need to know our roots as well. The known and the unknown parts of us continually feed into our personalities and our identity. And oftentimes the spirit of rejection is constantly affecting us deep within, and nothing seems to be able to fix it. You know, we hurt, but we don't know why, or we react to things that shouldn't really matter at all, but we don't know why. When we live our lives feeling unloved and lonely and unwanted and misunderstood, but we just don't know why. So I have a list of 10 things that feed rejection that will help you sort it out, and understanding will come to you in some way that you're able to free yourself from the spirit of rejection. So these are essentially some open doors to rejection where it can come in and overtake you and cause you some problems. And we're going to deal with them as soon as I'm done. So the first one is false responsibility, false burden bearing, and false compassion, otherwise called codependency, right, for common day knowledge. You know, the spirit of rejection will cause us to identify with the evil problems of others. You know, Galatians 6:2 tells us to bear, to sustain, to support, to uphold one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. But bearing one another's burdens doesn't mean you have to take on all these rotten roots like a beast of burden for the rest of your life. You know, it means that you come along with this other person and you show them how to take the burden off of them, not help them carry it, right? You know, and self-pity in another person will accuse you, and it'll tell you that you're not helping them to carry their issue around like a good Christian should. So those are just a few, and we're going to break some soul ties around that area in our prayer. The second open door would be fear of deliverance, and that's really, you know, a fear of being free from the rejection. Afraid no one will pay attention to you anymore if you don't have it. That kind of doesn't make sense, but it does as well. There's a fear of what you'll be like when you're free, afraid your personality will change. It's an identity issue. Number three, fear of being vulnerable. You know, when you decide that you're not going to risk being vulnerable anymore, that's it for you, you're just done, you know, you open yourself up to a whole list of defense mechanisms to protect yourself from rejection, like withdrawing, getting angry, or finding acceptance in ungodly relationships. Number four, feeling unloved. So this can be real or imagined, and often scenarios are produced in your mind, triggered by sights or sounds, voices, faces, flashbacks to your past, all causing you to imagine yourself being rejected even when you're not. Number five, discontent. Okay, so this one's never satisfied. That's when we're always comparing ourselves to others. This is where the envy and the jealousy, covetousness and lust, it's like a wound if it's not healed or treated. Now, discontent affects our appearance, how we walk, our jobs, our marriages. It can cause people to church hop, and it definitely will lead to problems in relationships. Number six, not being nurtured is a door point for this spirit of rejection. Now, if you weren't nurtured properly as a child, the people that were supposed to love you, who didn't or would not, or maybe just didn't know how, you know, maybe they didn't consider you valuable or even a person, you know, and this can carry over to adulthood. It's a big problem. Number seven, rejection in the womb. That would be like an unwanted pregnancy or an illegitimate birth. That bastard's curse could be in play, and that really does cause a breach in relationship. Number eight, resentment about the birth. So maybe your parents resented your birth because of financial problems or some other burden of raising the child. And perhaps it wasn't personal, but it still was a form of rejection that took advantage of the situation. Of course, number nine, marital problems of the parents. So if your issue, you would probably most likely have rejection issues, abandonment issues. If your parents had problems, or if there was some kind of ungodly order in the home. And 10, if you have personal marital problems in your own life now, you have rejection. If you've ever been through a divorce, you have rejection, you know. The invisible kingdom of Ephesians 6:12, it's hard at work to conform us to its ways, and it uses the spirit of rejection to do it. Remember, we were talking about identity. That's that state of having the same nature or the character. So, you know, Satan, he wants us to be like him. He wants us to act like him and speak like him and serve him, you know, and if he can accomplish this, you know, if he can veer us away from God and our true identity, it's a form of worship of him, you know. But God wants us to be like him, you know. He wants us to have his nature and his character. We were made in his image, and it's only through God the Father, Jesus the Son, and the Holy Spirit that we can be who God says we can be. There are three basic classes of rejection. Rejection by God, rejection of ourselves, and rejection of others. Remember, the great commandment, which is to love the Lord your God with all your mind, heart, soul, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself. And of course, Satan's coming along, trying to separate us with each member of the Godhead from our neighbor and separate us from ourselves. So, you know, those are the three classes of rejection here. You know, and if you feel like you are rejected by God, let me tell you, that is an imagined rejection. It might feel like it, but remember, rejection affects the physical body, whether it's real rejection or it's imagined rejection. So the first thing we need to learn is that God doesn't reject people. He didn't send his son to die on the cross for all of us to reject us then. You know, he loves us. But again, the enemy has an assignment to steal this truth away from us. And the Bible clearly tells us that we are accepted and adopted by a loving Heavenly Father. And if you would like to know your Father, please write me at spiritmindbodyconnection@gmail.com. I'd love to introduce you to him. Ephesians 1, 4 through 6. According as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he has made us accepted in the beloved. Romans 8:15. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Now, in the natural, when a child is adopted, that becomes a door point for that spirit of rejection to come in. You know, the reason the child is being adopted is because, for whatever reason, he is abandoned by his parents. However, according to the above scripture, when we are born again, we are adopted into God's family. He becomes our spiritual father. We become accepted by him. And that word, Abba, denotes being a son or daughter. You know, he's our daddy and we are his children. You know, we have the right to call him daddy. We can call him Abba, Abba, Abba all day. You know, he loves his children with a love that none of us can truly comprehend. Adopted children in Jesus' day, they became heirs and joint heirs with the heirs, you know, and that's what you are, my friend. You know, the Father has accepted us, but rejection will not let us accept ourselves. It'll tell us that we're no good, that we're not going to make it, you know, we just should just quit trying. And, you know, this then becomes self-rejection because the spirit of rejection is manifesting against the self and it's turned inward towards yourself. You know, this is the part that causes many autoimmune diseases that we see today. So if you're constantly listening to the thoughts from the enemy that you're not loved, that you're not accepted, you're not up to standard, you know, then these thoughts will cause your body to turn on itself, it'll attack itself, and it's going to form some sort of disease. So you need to ask yourself a question. Have I accepted myself? You know, have I forgiven myself? You know, and if you haven't, it's time to take responsibility for manifesting this self-rejection and deal with the spirit of rejection as you should. You know, if we are rejected by others, there are different defense mechanisms that can arise to deal with the hurt of rejection. We talked about some of that earlier tonight. you know, the spirit of rejection, it can cause us to seek a role model after the flesh. And if we end up following someone because the way they look, or we begin comparing ourselves to them, then we have an identity crisis, and then we have rejection. But Paul said to know no man after the flesh. 2 Corinthians 5:16, therefore hereafter, after the cross, know we no man after the flesh. Yes, though we have known Christ after the flesh, and yet now, hereafter, know we him no more. So we no longer know Christ after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And through our spiritual experience of being born again, you know, we know him. We have this relationship with him. He is the one who's our role model. And to make man your role model, again, is a form of idolatry. Proverbs 23, verse 7 reads, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. And that word thinks is defined in Strong's Concordance 8176 as a gatekeeper, as a doorkeeper. Split open, reason out, calculate, or estimate. So as we think in our heart, we become what we think. You know, the doorkeeper is in charge of opening or closing the door to our hearts, those neurochemicals that are secreting away. And if we listen to the thoughts of rejection, or we listen to fear or bitterness or envy, that comes into us and we become one with them. You know, we must be the one with our free will that only allows God's thoughts into our heart. But how do we do it? By replacing again the thoughts from the evil kingdom with what the Word of God says about us. So here's one of those scriptures that we can really get into our heart and spirit tonight that says Galatians 4:1. Now, I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differs nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all. So, what is the Apostle Paul saying to us in this scripture? He is describing who we are in God and our true identity. Not the identity that our enemy tries to establish for us. You know, there are four components to this scripture that we want to look at tonight. And number one, we are an heir. And an heir means a portion or a sharer by lot. So when we became born again, we became an heir in the kingdom of God. So we have a part, we have a portion in this kingdom. You know, an heir inherits something, doesn't he? So just because we are an heir doesn't mean that we've obtained our inheritance yet. It's just a part of the process in our walk with the Lord. So if we keep on walking with him, he soon brings us into our inheritance, you know, and it's all good. So we need to meditate on that and think about what our future is in the Godhead. If we don't partake of our inheritance, then that will cause us to have an identity crisis. And when we're in crisis, we tend to take things into our own hands, and we become impatient for something to happen. We try to make it happen on our own, and that's, you know, that's not God's way. But the spirit of rejection drives us to not want to wait for God's timing. Number two component in Galatians of the scripture is that we are a child. And this word means a babe, an immature Christian. And, you know, it's a good thing to be a child of God, to be his son or daughter, but we need to recognize that we need to be trained in the things of God to come to maturity. You know, just because we're a child, it doesn't mean that we cannot be an heir. We're still the heir with our promised inheritance. Being the child is just where we are in our walk with the Lord. So none of the benefits are withheld till we reach maturity. They are still ours, but rejection says that you don't measure up. You're not good enough to receive what God has for you. So remember, rejection is a liar and the father of all lies. Component three is that we are a servant. And the definition of servant is slave, bondman, one who gives himself up to another's will. Isn't that exciting? So it's a good thing, actually, to be a servant in a good way. You know, it shows us that we give ourselves fully to God and to his will for our lives. And then, you know, that really takes the pressure off us, doesn't it? When we know that God is the one in control, we don't have to make things happen. We can enter his rest. We don't have to strive to be somebody. We already are somebody in him. And that's the good news. You know, it's God. He is the author and finisher of our faith. So, you know, when we mess up, just rejoice in that and give it to him. Like, I'm giving this to you, Lord, so you said you'd complete a good work in me, so go ahead, take it. Or, ding, ding, clean up an aisle three. You know, just let him clean up. You recognize it, you give it to him, and he will do the hard part. And the fourth component is that we become Lord of all. You know, the word, that word be in the scripture, that is a progressive future becoming. So our future is to become Lord of all. In other words, we obtain all that God has for us. You know, but that spirit of rejection, again, it doesn't want to let you be content where you are. It's a counterfeit of this Galatians 4:1. It's a counterfeit of the promise that the scripture holds for us. You know, when we're not content, we can't give thanks to God in everything. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. So I'm going to tell you, beloved, being grateful is a huge bomb against rejection, and it can destroy the entire mindset very quickly. But when our identity is not in Christ Jesus, then we're not content and we can't give thanks to God from our heart. You know, it's important that we recognize that in Galatians 4:1, Paul is saying that our future identity and our inheritance has nothing to do with our present state. You know, we all have stuff we're dealing with. But, you know, this present stuff, it will not hinder our future in God. Again, more good news. An important thing to know about this spirit of rejection is that it projects into the future an unfulfilled reality concerning our identity and our position. So in other words, we won't make it. That fear of losing your salvation comes from rejection. But remember, the word says in Romans 8:1 that there is no, therefore now, no condemnation in Christ Jesus. So as always, there are things that we must do. You know, we can't just sit back and say, God's in control, I don't have to do anything. So I want you to know what you do need to do, okay? So here it is. One, receive the love of God. And two, be an expression of it. It's simple, right? So as we wrap up this teaching on rejection, we've already learned how to recognize it. We know how to take responsibility for it and repent for it. And now, you know, we have to get rid of it forever from our lives. The first step, again, is to deal with this self-rejection, because that type of rejection is directed inward towards ourselves, you know, and it's not of God, it's not His plan. And His word says the opposite of what the enemy says to us. Romans 8:31, what shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? You know, we don't really have the right to reject ourselves if God hasn't. If God's accepted us, you know, if we do this, we're calling God a liar and we're saying that He made a mistake when He created us. And God doesn't make mistakes. Again, it's the enemy trying to convince us that what God says isn't true. So if you have self-rejection, you're going to have to forgive yourself already. And remember, you are not the sin that dwells within you. Read Romans chapter 7 and 8. God bless you in that. So John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Ezekiel 18:32, for I have no pleasure in the death of him that dies, says the Lord God. Therefore, turn yourselves and live. Does this sound like a God that's distant, that doesn't care about His people? No, not at all. Does that sound like God wants you sick with autoimmune diseases or fertility issues? No. To get rid of rejection, we not only have to forgive ourselves, but we also need to not let others' rejection get to you. So, in this world, we will be rejected at one time or another. You know, there's no way getting around it. You'll probably be rejected every single day. But if someone has a spirit of rejection within themselves, just remember, they will reject. It's going to manifest one of three ways. Towards God, they'll reject God, they'll reject themselves, or they'll reject others, or all three, or a combination. It just goes wild. So there's no getting around it. Whatever spiritual problem a person has, it's going to manifest at some point in one of those three ways. Romans 2, verse 1. Therefore you are inexcusable, O man. Who are you that judges? For where you judge another, you condemn yourself. For you that judges do the same things. So Paul's saying here that what you accuse another person of a sin, and at the same time you excuse yourself of it, you are in the same sin. So if you let someone else's rejection justify you being in rejection, then you are excusing yourself. And in order to get rid of rejection, of course, we're going to have to get rid of that fear, because that's right there with the rejection, holding it in place. But remember, 2 Timothy 1:7, for God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And, you know, there are four main fears behind rejection and abandonment and broken heart issues. They are the fear of rejection, the fear of abandonment, the fear of failure, and the fear of man. That is evil manifesting through man, their looks, what they could be thinking, doing, etc. You know, there is no fear in love, but there is a fear when you're not loved. And fear has been known to cause over 100 incurable diseases, and fear manifests as fight as well as flight. Now, we know that this scripture very well. You know, we know the antidote for fear, which is God's love, Jesus, the Word made flesh, speaking truth to our inner man through the Word, and the power of the Holy Spirit to remove the spirits of fear, you know, all working in us to combat fear. You know, if we could really understand the tools that God's given us to work with, we can become powerhouses that God intended for us to be. So there are three deliverance prerequisites for being free of rejection, which we're going to do here in just a hot minute. They are to, number one, accept God's love, receive the love of God. Number two, be an expression of it, love yourself. And three, love your neighbor. You know, so what does it mean to accept God's love? That just means that you express your gratitude, you speak to him, you tell him, you accept your love, you receive it, or at least you're trying your very best, you know, because you have a relationship with him by faith. You don't compare and judge God based on your earthly father and his treatment of you. You know, God is not guilty by association just because he's called Father. In establishing a relationship with God, you know, you must believe that he's God, and you must believe that he heard you when you talked to him. Because if you doubt that he heard you, you will have wasted your time praying. You know, so don't be preoccupied with all this junk in your life. Just give him your attention. Because, you know, you can't say and think two different things at the same time. You're going to face towards one and your back's going to be towards the other. Or you turn around and you're facing the other way and your back's towards that other thing. So choose to renew your mind. To love yourself simply means that you accept yourself just the way you are. It doesn't mean that you're stuck on yourself and you think you're something that you're not. You know, it's when you accept God's love and learn to love and accept yourself, then you can love your neighbor as you love yourself. Otherwise, you're hating your neighbor as you hate yourself or you're in double-minded and confusion, things aren't working and you just don't know why. So this one last thing I want to warn everyone about, and that is for false love. And that's a counterfeit love, and that does come out of rejection. So it exists on what others think or say about you. It thrives on the need to be accepted by man. And again, your peace depends on someone being nice to you, to them smiling at you, saying good things about you, and doing good things for you. And again, today it is called codependency. You know, the Bible says that love covers a multitude of sins. And if we have real love, the God kind of love, then we love no matter if the other person does or says something good or bad about us. You know, our relationship with others should not depend on their approval of us. It should depend on our approval of them. You know, it should depend on the fact that we are all sons and daughters of the Most High God. Psalm 56:11. In God have I put my trust. I will not be afraid of what man can do to me. Isaiah 53:1. Who has believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He has no form or comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, and yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, and he was bruised for our iniquities. And the chastisement of our peace was laid upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. So praise God forever. We are now going to pray and get rid of rejection and abandonment and the like. Praise the Lord. Give me just a second.
Praise God. All right. So now we're going to pray. I'd like you to follow after me. We're going to do basic renunciation of the spirits that you may recognize if it's been working in your generations, of your family on both sides. And we're going to have you repent and renounce for each spirit you've entertained in your life We do this according to Nehemiah chapter 9. And we're going to be referring to specific entities that you've allowed to work in your life. And remember, this can be towards God, self, or others. This could be something that you haven't manifested yourself, but somewhere in the last 160 years, someone in your family has. So again, we are breaking things off the generations and getting free. Praise God for deliverance. Okay, so repeat after me. Heavenly Father, I recognize and take responsibility in my life and in my generations for participating with generational rejection towards God, self, and others, and by others. For bitterness coming out of rejection that I have had towards God, towards myself, and others. I repent for generational rejection coming out of envy, jealousy, covetousness, and lust that I have had towards God, self, or others. I repent and renounce participating with unforgiveness, resentment, retaliation, anger and wrath, hatred, violence, abuse, murder, including murder with the tongue. I repent for participating with abandonment, fear of abandonment, heaviness, oppression, depression, hopelessness, loneliness, despair, and isolation. I repent for unbelief and doubt, double-mindedness, and distrust. I repent for having accusation towards you, God, accusing myself, receiving accusation from others, and accusing others. Shame. Lying spirits, familiar spirits, and spirit guides. Generational envy and jealousy. Generational unclean, unloving spirits. Self-pity, insecurity, guilt, low self-esteem. I repent for fear coming out of rejection. Fear of rejection, real or imagined. I repent for fear of failure, fear of man, fear of God, fear of being vulnerable, fear of deliverance, fear of not having an identity, victimization, abuse, post-traumatic stress disorder, all spirits of torment, anxiety, and dread. We're almost done, folks. Hang in there. I repent for an excessive need to be loved, an excessive need for approval, an excessive need for acceptance, an excessive need for identity. I repent for drivenness, false burden bearing, false responsibility, codependency, lust, fantasy lust, adultery, fornication, masturbation. I repent for rebellion, witchcraft, control, manipulation, matriarchal witchcraft, stubbornness, idolatry, legalism, Phariseeism, ungratefulness, unthankfulness, discontentment, and murmuring and complaining. Praise God forever. You guys did it. Good for you. I'm now going to come along and do some prayer now against the spirit of rejection. Just one second. Sorry, my dog's barking in the background. Praise the Lord. For Father, I thank you and praise you. You did not give any one of your people a spirit of rejection. I thank you, Father, that each one of us enters your rest, that you do the heavy lifting, and I'm asking you now that you will deliver and heal your people. If I, by the finger of God, cast out devils, know this, the kingdom of God is come unto you this night. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, by all the power vested in me, I take authority over generational rejection towards God, towards self, and others, and all generational rejection by others. I command you to come up, get out, go to the place provided for you to receive judgment for coming against God's people. And I command you to go in Jesus' name. Amen. I come against and command all bitterness coming out of rejection that you have had towards God, towards self and others. All bitterness by others. Come up, get out, go. Take your diseases and leave. I speak to all unforgiveness and resentment, all retaliation, anger and wrath, hatred, violence, murder, including murder with the tongue. The Lord rebuke you through me. Our God is a God of love, not hate, forgiveness, not unforgiveness. And I speak to every one of you. I don't care who you are, where you came from. In the name of Jesus, you will rise up and leave now. Thank you, Father. I come against generational envy and jealousy towards God, towards self and others, and by others, all generational spirits of covetousness and lust, towards God, towards self and others, and by others, and I rebuke you in God's stead. I say the Lord rebuke you through me. Get up. I strip you of your armor, and I command you to be removed. I speak to all vain imaginations
coming out of the unclean spirit that answers to rejection. And I thank you, Father, that as that rejection leaves, that these people's bodies come back into homeostasis as you have created them to. I now speak to every underling of rejection that has come in through the wounds and the heat and the wounds of abandonment. I speak to spirits that answer to rejection, up and out. Go. Take your diseases as I speak. I speak to all spirits that answer to abandonment. Get out. The same goes for you. Leave every cell, every part of them in the matchless name of Jesus Christ. I speak to all abandonment and fear of abandonment, all rejection and fear of rejection. I said it once, I said it again. The Lord rebuke you, and I speak to all of these spirits that would manifest in my daughter, and I command them to be separated and never to return again by the finished work of Jesus Christ. I speak to this cluster. I command every one of you that I call out to go, to rise up in a bundle, to be burned. I speak to heaviness, oppression, depression, hopelessness, loneliness, helplessness, despair, isolation, learned helplessness. The Lord rebuke you through me. I speak to you all, I command you to burn, and I speak to all torment coming out of these things. And I thank you, God, that that is removed by faith that works through love. I come against and command every spirit of double-mindedness, of doubt and unbelief, of idolatry, of man, of fear of man, and all distrust of God, distrust of yourself, and distrust of others, distrust of love. Get out now in Jesus' name. That's enough. You've been there long enough, and I said enough's enough. Go and don't return. I speak against spirits of accusation that tell you that God doesn't love you. They are a lie. I speak to accusation, self-accusation towards yourself, towards others, and even accusation by others that cause rejection and causes over-secretions of stress hormones. Come out. I pull you up out of their hearts and out of their bellies, and I cast you as well in a place to be disposed of for coming against the people of God this night. Thank you, Jesus. I command spirits of shame, all lying spirits, all spirits of vain imaginations, and again, envy and jealousy. I don't care where you came in, but you gotta go up and out. And I speak to every unclean, every unloving spirit that wouldn't allow you to receive the love of God, or that lies to you about the word of God. Come up, get out in Jesus' name. Father, I don't want anyone to have this unclean spirit any longer, and I command it to be removed. And I thank you, Father, that you tell your people the depth of the love that you have for them in Jesus' name. I come against and take authority over every unclean spirit of self-pity, insecurity, guilt, and low self-esteem. Up and out, the Lord rebuke you through me. I speak the fear of rejection, whether that rejection is real or imagined. Fear is fear. And fear, I know you, you know me. We know how this is going to end up. So start leaving now in the mighty name of Jesus. Get up and get out. I stand in the gap for these people right now. And Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. I send far from each and every one of these people in the sound of my voice, from fear of rejection, from fear of failure, from fear of abandonment, from fear of man, and any ungodly fear of you, Father God, the fear of being vulnerable or being set free and delivered, fear of not having an identity, up and out. Father, I pray you swallow up these things by your spirit of life and set your people free. I speak to familiar spirits and spirit guides of victimization and abuse, the rejection coming out of their eyes, coming at you through their fists. I don't care. I come against you, evil as sin. And I come against every open door of victimization. And Father, I just apply the blood of the Lamb to the lintel and the doorpost of these people's hearts, that the torment of that victimization would be removed. I speak to the spirit of torment that comes to torture and torment. And I speak to whoever you are, and I say, forgive yourself. And Father, I just stand in the gap. I speak to unforgiveness. I pull up the taproot and the cancer of unforgiveness. And I pull up the torment and the cancer of fear. I speak to anxiety disorders and post-traumatic stress. And I speak to all cell memory, and I command it to have the clean and beautiful imprint of the Lord Jesus Christ. I command the following cluster to leave together, for you to take all your diseases with you as you go, and never to speak to God's people again. I come against, bind, and take authority over the excessive need to be loved, the excessive need for approval, the excessive need for acceptance, and the excessive need for identity. I come and pull up and cast out drivenness, false burden-bearing, false responsibility, and codependency. I cast out every sexual spirit tied to rejection and perversion. I speak to lust, to fantasy lust. I speak to adultery, fornication, masturbation, and all covetousness, addictions. The Lord rebuke you through me. And I speak now against rebellion, witchcraft, control and manipulation. I come against matriarchal witchcraft, stubbornness, idolatry, legalism, Phariseeism, ungratefulness, unthankfulness, discontentment, and all murmuring and complaining in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And Father, if there are any open doors represented here tonight by any codependent relationships, Father, in the name of Jesus, again, there is no argument against the blood. And so I thank you for being the true door for your sheep. And I come against any ungodly doorkeeper or anything that hoards a portal open, and I command him to step aside because you have no portion or inheritance with any heir of light. Praise God. Forever. And I just come against every generational curse. I say the curse is reversed. I speak to every generational disease that's passed itself down to you in your DNA or any disease you have developed in your life. I come against diseases, diagnoses, and disorders in Jesus' name, and I release you into the freedom and love of the living God. I command every curse of autoimmune, of fertility issues, of heart attack, or a chronic cortisol drip to cease and never show your face again. And I break all cell memory of any wound that you have had or any disease that had in the past been imprinted upon you. And again, there is no argument against the blood. You have said in your word that I will cleanse the blood that I have not cleansed. And Father, I call that forth right now, that you would remove all cell toxicity and all the stress hormones and everything that you would like removed from each and every one of your people. And I release your blessing, Lord, and your healing and your spirit to fill up every empty space where those spirits of rejection have left. I praise you, Lord, for your word, for Numbers 28:20, which reads, "Behold, I have received commandment to bless, and he has blessed, and I cannot reverse it." Praise the Lord. Well, this is Gretchen coming to you tonight. Sorry I took so long. God bless you each and every one. I will open the line up for questions or comments. So if that's you, just give me 1 second. Hit the *6 key and you'll be heard.
Okay, everyone's still there. I'm so sorry, just so late.
Hey, Gretchen.
God bless.
Thank you.
You're welcome. How you doing?
Hanging in. That was really thorough. You did not leave one stone unturned. Hello?
Yeah, I'm right here, just taking a breath.
Oh, okay. Okay, yeah. Well, don't let me hog the line.
Well, thank you so much for joining, and thank you for staying with it the whole way through, and I'll see you real soon. Bless you.
Okay, all right, you take care. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
Hello.
Thank you, Greg.
Hi.
I think it was all covered.
Hello.
Thank you.
Hello.
Thanks.
I have a question.
Sure,
may
go ahead.
I be? Or no? Okay, I have been diagnosed, and I've only about 5 years ago, with hypertrophic cardiomyopathy, and they said that it was a inherited disease. I know. I feel that you covered all of that beautifully, and I feel relieved, but I don't know how to explain it. Can an inherited disease, and I think you spoke to that, be healed? delivered?
It can. It's not as common as a healing, but mm-hmm. it can happen. Of course it can. I've seen things happen, and I've heard of more things than I've seen, of course. But mm-hmm. I also, I believe that God wants you healed, and that's the first thing. So is this Jan?
Yes, it is. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, Father in Heaven, I just lift Jan up to you, and I come against generational cardiomyopathy in the mighty name of Jesus. And, Father, we as the body of Christ, we speak corporately to her and against anything that would have caused a mutation in her cells in the mighty name of Jesus. I speak to you, Satan. I say you cannot have her. We don't care what your name is. We call you up and out. And Father, I just place a mark now on every spirit that you know that Jan can stand against. And together as the church, we speak to you and we command you to come up, get out, and go in Jesus' name. And I come against every generational spirit of rejection and abandonment, and specifically the broken heart. And Father, I just stand in the gap. Your word talks about the broken heart and the broken spirit. And I know from science that it can cause this cardiomyopathy that can be healed immediately. And so, Father, I'm just asking that you, through the gifts of healing and through the gifts of miracles that you have imparted to me, that we stretch this to Jan right now in the spirit, in the soul, and in the body. And by his blood, I stand in the gap and forgive, Lord, and reverse the curse of Deuteronomy 28 in Jesus' name.
Oh, amen. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I feel very good. I just don't know how to express it because I've never been prayed for about this. I haven't known what to do, but I've been starting to believe that I can be healed of that. I am beyond retirement age, so I've lived very long with this, according to what the doctors say that I've had it, and I'm still alive. It's the kind of thing that sudden death happens to people, and from heart arrhythmias and things like that. And there's a certain type of ventricular heart arrhythmia that they have determined that I had or have. And I'm not having any troubles with it. So, amen, amen. I thank you so much for this. Beautiful. Mm-hmm.
Let me just speak to that fear of having the heart attack, okay? So, Father in Heaven,
amen.
I thank you that you did not give Jan a spirit of fear. And I speak to that fear of heart attack and the fear of death. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, and I thank you, Father, that death has no sting and that the grave has no victory. For when she dies, she will be translated and glorified and with you in rest. And so, Father, I thank you that death is victory for us in a way. And I thank you that you remove all fear I come against all legion of fear in the heart, and I cast it far from my sister as I speak in the mighty name of Jesus. And I release the ANF, that atrial neurolytic factor, to just be secreted now, Father. And we do pray for healings. We pray for miracles. And we pray for life, even life forevermore. Thank you for bringing her to our line, Father. We love her. And let her know that she has received it, that she can express it, and come back.
Amen. 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 Thank you so much.
Okay, anyone else have a comment or a question tonight? I promise I won't go as late next time.
Oh, that was beautiful, Gretchen. Lord. Thank you. Mm-hmm.
Thank you. I didn't hear both of you at the same time.
Oh, you go. I just said that was beautiful. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
I was led by the Lord to come to this thing, this conference tonight and last week. And I didn't even know what the what the topics were. And they were for me. Thank you. And everyone, of course.
Yeah. Well, we're really glad to have you. It's been a big thing. I had incurable diseases and I was on death's door when I learned about these teachings. I have about 17 years now, but I was actually taking nitroglycerin several times a week, was still having acute chest pain. My heart was so seized up with fear. I just didn't even want to pump anymore. But God's good.
Yeah.
You know, he delivered what I needed, and I'm walking out the rest. So it's a little by little.
That's
I always
amazing.
Say God's
yes.
going to just of what you can stand against,
yes.
because he doesn't want you to, you know, have a kickback or anything like that. So God is good.
Right.
He's always good.
Yeah. Yes, he is.
So I
well, I have an enlarged heart, and I've had a procedure at the Mayo Clinic for a type of epilation, and so I'm doing very well. I mean, I just don't know. I'm just doing very well. So thank you. Thank you, Lord.
Aww. Yeah, well, we'll keep praying for you as we all remember you. And
thank you.
Hope
thank you so much. I appreciate that.
Okay, well, I guess I'm going to go. It's kind of late for me. So thank you once again for joining. We also have a sister ministry, Freedom's Way Ministry, that is also very active every weekday morning at 7:15 a.m., as well as Monday night teachings. My senior pastor and fabulous people. So thank you once again. The Lord bless you and keep you, each and every one, and may his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. I pray the Lord
thank you.
Lift his
thank you, Gretchen.
Upon
God bless you.
Yes, and gives
thank you,
you his peace, his rest forevermore.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord. Yes, praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Miss Gretchen.
Thank you.
Thank
you,
sis.
You're welcome. All right. Bye-bye, everybody. Sweet dreams.
Goodbye.
And
goodbye, everybody. Nice to join you.
Good night.
Thank you.
Yep.
Good night.